All right, Mark Simon joins us from Sports Info Solutions. And Mark A. Simon says on Twitter, right, Mark?
Yep, you got it, in sportsinfo_SIS for the company.
I love it. All right, boy, we love having you on today. And I'm going to start with something that happened last night. The San Diego-Colorado game, 16-12.
Oh, gosh.
55 homers for the day in baseball, 6-run leads being blown, coming back in the ninth inning. Renfro, 3 homers in the game. When you see something like that, and look, you're a student of what's going on in the game, what do you think?
It's okay. But then too many home runs, like I talked about the other day. I so much prefer 2-1 and 1-0 to 16-12. I don't know how much more I can articulate it. Good for the Padres for coming back, certainly. I guess it made me think good things about them. And I think that they're better than I think some of us give them credit for. Hunter Renfro is having a really good year. But boy, 16-12 is a little much. That's a lot of baseball to play.
It is, and we'll talk about it on the show, and I can't wait to do the post game and see what people think about the baseball we see today. And then, look, we see it every day, and last night was maybe the craziest. A lot of runs scored. What do you think of the game here last night? Pomerantz, another solid game for him.
Yeah, he was good enough. I feel like that's the second game in a row that he was just good enough. I know that Freak said that he had his curveball much better in the third inning. The list, 3 innings that he pitched. I actually was thinking that if the situation was right, they probably could have squeezed him for another 10 pitches or so. The biggest takeaway from the game for me, though, was watching Will Smith in the ninth and how dominant he is, and thinking about what he can maybe procure in a trade in about a month or so, because the slider right now is fantastic for him. It's a weapon that I think a lot of teams would wish that they would have for the eighth or ninth inning, and that I think some of the pennant contenders could probably use, including the one they've got, the lefty Hader, but the Brewers could certainly use some bullpen help.
What do you see about Pomerantz sitting with a couple of scouts last night? They sort of envisioned Pomerantz more as a reliever than a starter, but an effective guy coming out of the bullpen.
Yeah, it seems like he can give you a good couple of innings. He's dangerous, though, because a lot of the times it's like 18 pitches per inning. So I think you would hope that he gets right to the point where he would be really good against lefties, and that you could bring him in to spot him against lefties. Because when his curveball is right, he's excellent. And those numbers have been better the last 2 starts. As is his fastball. So maybe he's figuring it out. That was, I guess that's the best thing I could say. And then, hey, another big game for Sandoval.
Yeah, very good. All right, how about Brandon Belt? I talked about him earlier. You know, when he gets hot, I say ride him. And, you know, the home runs are here and there, but the on base is just incredible. What do you see with Belt? What do the numbers tell you about Belt? I mean, we've seen it, but what do the numbers tell you?
Sure. I'm hopeful that they'll actually discuss this on the broadcast later, that if you go back, it's like 3-4 weeks. I hate trying to diagnose something with a player because I didn't play and I don't know that I have the expertise, but it seems like just from the numbers that his timing is better. He's not whiffing on changeups like he had been earlier this season, and that's a pretty large difference. And he's right on the fastball. He's hitting a lot of hard hit balls with the fastball. He's hitting 400 against fastballs in the last 3-4 weeks. He's punching balls over the defense, which I think is something that you can do when you feel like you're a little bit more in control of things and your timing is right. That ball that he hit over the shift yesterday is a good example of that. It's a shame because of the way that this season has gone, but he's actually having a really good offensive year, even if he's only hitting about 250 or so.
Well, I'll tell you one thing, defensively, and I don't know if you got the metrics defensively, but I don't think there's anyone in baseball who turns a 3.63 better than him.
Yeah, he's always, like, right now his metrics are like that he's league average, but I never really worry about that with him because at the end of the year he always winds up +7, +8 in terms of defensive runs saved. And as you said, he's very sharp on the 3.63, and there aren't. You are correct in that there aren't a lot of guys that can do that and do that well.
All right, Mark Simon with us, Sports Info Solutions. Always enjoy talking some ball with you. Sandoval, and I think I did the math, he's got like 60% of his hits are extra base hits. That's a lot, isn't it?
Yes. Although that seems to be kind of like a trendy thing this year. Hunter Renfrow was actually the same way. But yes, you would not expect, even your bestest power hitters are, like, if you think about it, a guy who hits 30 home runs, 40 doubles, maybe three triples, he gets like 160, 170 hits in a year. So he's like 40, 45%. Mm-hmm. And those are your best power hitters. And he's, Sandoval's now 23 out of 39, which is, as you said, in the 60% range. Who knows if that will last? Enjoy it while it does. It seems to be another part of the trend of baseball 2019 that guys can do that these days.
Yeah, it is. It's incredible. I love that number. I'm glad that you could give us the average number of extra base hits, because it makes sense when you think about it. He's about 60%, which is really just incredible. The Brewers are interesting to me, and they've lost five straight on the road to left-handed starters, and I keep records of this kind of stuff. They won two at home in between that stretch against lefties. But, you know, you slow down Yelich a little bit. You slow down Moustakas. And the righties really are maybe not picking it up. What's going on with the Brewers?
Yeah, they've had a strange up-and-down kind of season, because if you look at them last year, Jesus Aguilar was kind of a key for them, and he's at 197 with no power at all. Arcia has been good, but nothing particularly special. Braun's been all right. Kane started strong, has since significantly dropped off. They are in need of a righty bat. They're living right now off of home runs. Yelich has 25 and Moustakas has 21. Grindahl has 15. They also could use another pitcher or two. I felt like Zach Davies was due to have a game like the kind that he had yesterday. His FIP indicates an ERA more in the fours than in the 2.5s. So you might say that he was due. Woodruff is pretty good, but I think they could still use another guy. They could have used Keuchel if they could have gotten him. They're very good in the ninth inning. 8th, 7th, 6th, a little bit more of a struggle this year, but they're getting through. I had them as like the 5th, 6th best team in the National League right now. And I think they're going to be in a dogfight for the wild card spot.
Well, you look at them, Jimmy Nelson goes today, and I recounted his physical history of diving back into first base and losing the rest of 17, his breakout year, all of 18, and now he's had one start against the Marlins, and this will be a bullpen game today, and an early bullpen game it should be today for the Brewers.
Yeah, and you'll probably see, well, you saw Albers last night. If things go well, you'll see the Gillies and the Jeffers and the haters at the end of the game. I'm wondering, given what the stats that you've kind of run off, if this is a two-inning day for a hater who is as good as there is, two strikeouts, an inning, next to no runs. I do a thing with a Brewer radio station. They were clamoring for Kimbrel, and they didn't get him. So they're good, but they kind of know what they need to be an elite team.
Yeah, they do. They need starting pitching. There's no question about it. Gio Gonzalez they picked up, and he's hurt right now. I don't know if they'd be looking at a Bumgarner, you know, thinking about him. But we do have Zach Minazian here. Andy Bagley wrote a good story about him on The Athletic today, who used to be with the Brewers. He's the Giants' director of professional scouting. We had him on in spring training. So he's a Brewer guy, so he's got that connection. So maybe Brewers and Giants could match up.
Say, well, if you could somehow get one of their top guys, Keston Hira, their second baseman, is their top one of their top prospects. He came up, he's played 15, 16, 17 games, hit 5 home runs, 280 in a brief look. You'll probably see him later in the year. He's kind of crowded out by Moustakas and Shaw. But there, maybe there is a match there.
Yeah, we'd like to see some. Well, that's the kind of player you want to get back, a guy who looks like he can play in the big leagues right now. Hey, there's a history part of today, and there's a no-hitter, and it's a salute to Juan Marichal.
Yeah, 56 years ago today, Juan Marichal beat the Astros 1-0 and pitched a no-hitter. The first no-hitter by a Giants pitcher since Carl Hubbell, the legendary Hall of Famer, in 1929. Juan Marichal is one of a couple of three Hall of Famers to throw a 1-0 no-hitter for the Giants. Gaylord Perry, Christy Mathewson, are the others. Those were a little harder no-hitters than the ones that Pavlik wrote about this week, about all the ones on your benchy. So I just had to sweat those out a little bit more. And I told you, I said I would come with one really good Marischal stat. I have one that I like. In the live ball time, which is since 1920, there's only one pitcher who has thrown multiple shutouts where he had to go at least 14 innings to get the win. Marischal has the one of 16 innings, and then he has another one. He's the only pitcher in the live ball era who could go that deep and get a pair of wins pitching at least 14 innings. And he almost had another. He lost to the Mets on a Tommy Achey home run in the 14th inning 50 years ago. Wow. His durability is pretty amazing.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. And wow, we could do a whole show on Juan Marischal and what he meant to the Giants in the 60s. First game that he ever pitched, a one-hitter. Clay Dalrymple got the hit. Curveball in the eighth inning, and Hobie Landreth was catching that day. And the best thing about this no-hitter, Willie McCovey always told me the story, and Marischal did too. McCovey was playing left field, and in those days, you know, McCovey, you know, was a left fielder and wasn't a true left fielder. Liked to play deep. And Carl Warwick hit one to the wall, and McCovey just reached up, put the glove up, and he was standing right by the wall when he caught it, and he didn't have to move. And Marischal always said that saved the no-hitter. So that's
There's a picture of that, actually, in the San Francisco Examiner, which I was just reading about 15 minutes ago. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, I love it. Very good. Well, we have to do our All-Star picks. Maybe we'll do that next week with you.
Sure.
And see what you think about that. What do you think about the way they're picking the All-Stars with the two-tiered system? What do you think about that?
I'm not as into it as I guess a younger person would be. It's funny. I Googled Kevin Kiermaier the other day, and up came a thing that said, vote for Kevin Kiermaier. You can vote for him 17 times to be an All-Star. I don't need that. Like, vote once, be done with it. And I understand they're trying to find ways to drum up interest, but that's more for the younger generation than for me, I guess.
All right. Old man, we'll talk to you again.
All right. You got it.
Thank you so much, as always.
Sure.
And we'll talk to you next week. We'll do more. Also, we'll get your picks on the air next week. And it's Giants and Diamondbacks, so we'll see what's going on down there next week. Mark, thanks as always.
Sure. You got it. Enjoy Dan Levitt. His book's fantastic.
Yeah, he'll be on with us about 10:15 or so, and he does a tremendous job of describing front offices and how they're put together. And he does a rating of the top general managers of all time, which is very interesting because Brian Sabian is in that group. So I'm looking forward to talking with him.
Nice.
All right. Thanks, Mark. Have a good day.
Yep.
All right. That is Mark Simon, Sports Info Solutions. Mark A. Simon says on Twitter. Always interesting for the stuff he's got.